Exodus chapter 20, we are now at the fifth commandment. We see a shift from the direction towards the Lord in the first four. Now, horizontally, we see to one another. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And as we look to the reading of God's word, if you'd please join me in prayer. Blessed triune Lord, it is in your great and kind providence that all holy scriptures were written, preserved for our instruction. We ask that you would give us grace to hear them proclaimed, that you would strengthen our souls with the fullness of their divine teaching. Lord, keep us from pride and irreverence, and may it please you to guide us in the deep things of your heavenly wisdom. And from your great mercy, lead us by your word into everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, do we pray. Amen. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The word of the Lord. John Patton was a missionary to the New Hebride Islands in the 1800s. We know that now as Vanuatu. In his autobiography, he wrote this of his father. It may be familiar. I've several years ago read a section of this. He was looking back and recalling his days as a youth growing up in his home. He said, "How much my father's prayers at this time impressed me, I can never explain, nor could any stranger understand. When on his knees, and all of us kneeling around him in family worship, he poured out his whole soul with tears for the conversion of the heathen world to the service of Jesus, and for every personal and domestic need, we all felt as if in the presence of the living Savior, and learned to know and love him as our own divine friend." That was John Patton growing up in a home of a wonderful man, and his mother as well was just an outstanding Christian woman. Later, when he was to leave for his ministerial training, he wrote this. He said, "My father walked with me the first 6 miles of the way. His counsel and tears and heavenly conversation on the parting journey are fresh in my heart as if it had been yesterday, and tears on my cheeks flow freely now whenever my memory steals away to the scene. For the last half mile or so, we walked together in an almost unbroken silence. His lips kept moving in silent prayers for me. He grasped me by the hand firmly for a minute in silence, then solemnly and affectionately said, 'God bless you, my son. Your father's God prosper you and keep you from all evil.' Unable to say more, he said, his lips kept moving in silent prayer. In tears, we embraced and parted. They watched through blinding tears till his form faded. And then hastening on my way, I vowed deeply and often, by the help of God, to live and act so as never to grieve or dishonor such a father and mother as he had given me." What an incredible picture of, as it were, the man behind the man. This well-known missionary to the New Hebrides, an incredible person who really brought many into the mission fields through his autobiography and through his work, recognizing his dad just an ordinary shopkeeper, a very ordinary man, and just the greatness of his spiritual heritage that he received from both father and mother. And of course, as we think about that, that's just an outstanding picture of what that looks like in the home. And we all have various experiences in our own homes. For some, that seems like an ideal too far to reach. And others, maybe that is something that we're longing to see in our own families as we raise young families with small children. But parents we have. And the Lord has called us to honor them. And we are to do so with respect and obedience. As we look at the fifth commandment this morning, we come to what is often called the second table of the law. The first four are those vertical dimensions directed to the Lord himself. And the last are directed one to another. Of course, we know that the last half has to be based on the first. We cannot love one another unless we truly love God. We cannot honor others unless we truly honor the Lord. But as we look at this commandment, we're going to just take a short excursus because it relates to the commandments as a whole. Some argue that the law is no longer binding on Christians because we live in the New Testament era and not the Old Testament. And this question often comes up, is the law still binding today? Well, the first thing to keep in mind is that even that word law is used in multiple ways in Scripture to refer to different things. And Paul, when he uses this, it moves around quite freely. In Galatians, of course, he tells us that the law is like a guardian that we're under until Christ came, and that we are now led by the Spirit. We're not under the law. And he's speaking primarily to opponents who are trying to put the Gentile Christians under the Jewish law. And Paul very clearly says in Galatians that we are justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. We are made righteous not by our law keeping, but through our faith in Jesus Christ. And so that question comes, what do we do with the law of Moses? And even as we saw earlier in our confession, Jesus said that he did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And he and the apostles pointed us back to the binding authority of Scripture, that we see the law often is there before us. And sometimes we have an easy way of looking at that. We talk about the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral law as a way of understanding that. There's 613 laws recorded in the Old Testament, and they don't necessarily fall neatly into those categories, but it helps us to navigate as we walk through that. In our own reform circles, we speak of the threefold use of the law, that the law is there to convict us of our sin. As Paul said, the law comes, it comes with the knowledge of sin. How would I know what it means to covet, Romans 7, if the law did not say you shall not covet? We understand that conviction that comes when we do something contrary to what God commands. The second, though, is this restraining ability of the law in the civil world. We're glad for laws. We're glad that we have commands against crime and there's punishment for that. Romans 13, Paul clearly says that these authorities are given by God to punish wrongdoers. But the third use of the law tells us how we should live. Jesus repeatedly even told his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Paul in Ephesians, that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. What does it mean to keep these commandments? What does it mean to walk in them? The law gives us, as it were, an imprint of righteousness affecting one another. And so it's a wonderful picture for us to know how to conduct ourselves. The first 39 books of the Bible are often called the Old Testament, and that's different from saying the Old Covenant. Jesus quotes from Genesis 2 on marriage, and he says, therefore, what God has put together, let not man separate. And he was not saying, well, this only applies until I'm raised from the dead. No, he's saying this applies going forward in history. This is a binding word from the Lord himself. So both Paul and Jesus quote the fifth commandment on honoring parents, and it's clear that they believe this is still binding on everyone today. So getting back then to the fifth commandment, what does it mean to honor our parents? Honor your father and mother. It's a little surprising when we think about it. The Lord doesn't say, love your father and mother. He says, honor. Honor is a moral choice. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on whether that person is worthy of that honor. Why? What reason is given for this? Paul quotes from this in Ephesians 6:1. He starts off admonishing children, saying, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then to back it up, he just simply quotes the command, honor your father and mother. God is the basis for what is good and right. He commands it, therefore it's right. The family is the foundation of all societies. It's the basic block for everything. Our families are the schools of our lives. And honor for parents is the foundation for honor and respect to all authority. Tim Keller rightly says, it's respect for parents that's the basis for every kind of respect and every kind of authority. And this is reflected in our Westminster Catechism. I put that in a bulletin. I'm not going to read it. But when you see the word inferiors to honor superiors, know that that is the language of the 17th century. It doesn't carry the same negative baggage that it does for us. But we recognize that there is this deference given to others beyond just our families. Calvin says, although particular mention here is made of father and mother, there can be no doubt about God's wanting to provide a general doctrine with respect to honoring all forms of authority. we're forced to conclude that in this text, God has commanded that all persons who enjoy any superior status to be honored and obeyed. Repeatedly in Scripture, we see non-biological people referred to as fathers or mothers. And I only make this emphasis because I'm not going to have time to expand on this application to honor and respect others. We're going to be focusing on the family. But just to make it very clear, obeying your teachers, the police, and other authorities in your lives is a direct application of this commandment. So how do we honor our parents? Paul has already told us one of those ways in Ephesians. He said, by obeying them. Doing what you're told as a child is honoring your parents. And when you leave the home, of course, this looks differently than when you were five. But the principle does not change, even though the application might. Scripture does not give us exactly how all this is carried out. But we do see the general guidelines for us. And it also gives us a caveat that we are to obey God above all else. And so if you are ever asked to do something sinful by anyone, you obey God, even if it means disobeying someone in authority. So that's very clear. We don't obey to do sin. Now, for the vast majority of what we're called to do, there is an honor. There is a submission to those over us and to our parents particularly. To honor someone is to speak well of them, to show them respect publicly and privately. You also show honor by supporting them. Now, many people here, their parents are already gone. So sometimes that question goes, well, how do I honor my father and mother? And they've been gone for several years. Well, honoring them is also remembering them well. It could be something very simple, honoring their grave, Memorial Day, their memory, telling your children about them so the memory of them continues on to another generation. Doing those things, which indeed would be a way of showing that reverential respect to them because God has given them to you as your parents. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:14 that children are not obliged to save up for their parents, but parents for their children, speaking when they were young. But we also know that that is reversed as our parents age, that we are to care for them, that we are to extend support, provision that way towards our parents. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus gives one of his harshest rebukes to the Pharisees for actually trying to get around caring for their parents. He there quotes the fifth commandment. He says, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of men. That you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, meaning given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition. Now, in brief, korban was a practice that allowed you to basically dedicate your money and your property to the temple while you were still alive. So you had control over it. You could do whatever you wanted with it. And then when you died, it reverted to the temple. It effectively enabled you not to support your family. It was a loophole that they provided, and Jesus blasts them for it. He's saying, you're rejecting the command of God. Now, the details of supporting and providing for someone, that may take some effort to work through. I know our circumstances are different for all of us, and kind of some of the details are hard. But the principle is not open for debate. The principle remains that that is a way of honoring your parents. What is surprising in this command is the promise of blessing attached to it. That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Paul reaffirms this in Ephesians 6 as well, but he expands it from the land of Palestine for the Jews to a broader application for Gentiles. He does the same in Romans 4:13. And Jesus as well in the gospel broadens the blessings of God beyond simply the promised land. Now, we know it's not an absolute blessing. We all have understood there are godly people who have died quite young. But it is a general reminder that by obeying the Lord, you will live a blessed life. Obedience truly brings blessing. Not in the way of the false gospel preachers on TV proclaiming, but a life submitted to the Lord will be a blessed life. And a primary way that submission is seen is in how you honor your parents. You don't get to choose your parents, but you do choose to honor God by honoring them, which leads us to our final consideration. How do I honor the dishonorable? What of those of us who bear significant scars from parents from abuse or neglect? What does that look like? My own dad's biological dad abandoned he and my grandmother when he was 4. He was raised by a stepdad, that was my grandpa. And then some 30 years later, his real dad showed up. I think I was in the 6th or 7th grade. So zero contact for over 30 years. He shows up. No apology or anything like that. And about everything that he said was either an outright lie or a complete embellishment. And then he left again. Kept in a little bit of contact. A few years later, he died of cancer, and there was no one else in his life. My mom went down to California to sort out his things, and what we ended up with is a box of ashes to deal with from my dad's dad. And I remember that my dad was kind to him. He was a virtual stranger, but he was also dad. Because nothing undoes it. That is how binding that is upon us as humans. That even when there's not a contact with a person and we find out that we're biologically related, that links us whether we want to or not. And so this was his dad. He blew in, he blew out. My mom said he was a drive-by dad. And there was never some great come-to-Jesus moment. You know, that's the hallmark part of that story. 30 years later or so, he comes back and he's so sorry for everything he's done and repentant, acknowledges all this that he's done wrong. There was none of that. There was not really anything honorable about him. But both my mom and my dad showed an honor to him. And they demonstrated that to my brothers and I. And by doing so, they honored God. Now, we're not called to submit to abuse and to crazy. Keep that in mind. We don't submit to abuse and to crazy, but we are called to honor. And what does that look like in drastic situations? Often it takes wisdom and hard work of walking through those details. Sitting down with myself or one of the elders might be a first step in learning how that might look for you. This gaining wisdom from other people because our circumstances can be very hard. We all have these. Well, what about, you know, and parents, and that's difficult. And maybe the best way to honor your dad and mom might be to start with forgiveness to them. Knowing that your Heavenly Father, through Jesus, has forgiven you, has reconciled you to our Heavenly Father. Therefore, at our disposal now is the resources necessary for on our part to be reconciled to those who have been estranged from us, who may have sinned greatly against us. And it might mean learning to give thanks to the Lord for the character that He has forged in you through trying and difficult circumstances. That's a hard one, isn't it? To see that God has been at work in you through these difficult circumstances and to thank Him for that. Even if the situation itself was one of great hardship. God is our Father. In our parents, we are to see a reflection of His love for us. And if that reflection is so tarnished or damaged in them, it does not mean that He is not able to shine through, because He can. Isn't it wonderful when you have just a beautiful picture of that in your parents, And even that, even in a good way, like a John Patton, is just but a small glimmer of the wonder and radiance of our Heavenly Father's love for us. Even in the best of parents, it is but a fleeting shadow of God's love for His people. But in the worst of parents, God's love is still able to shine through because of the person and work of Jesus, because of the gospel. His Spirit in us then begins to train us to call out, Abba, Father. And as we call out, Abba, Father, to our heavenly King, that also enables us to love, to serve with tenderness and respect difficult situations and parents. And what is good news about that is all of us are a child of someone. And we're all in various stages of life. And for you who are younger or starting families or hoping to start families, you're like, I want to be like the John Patton's mom and dad. That they can look back and go, I never want to dishonor that memory of who they are. And think, I want to be like that. So that's fantastic. To be able to set your course early and young. And some, your children have left the house, or your parents said or passed away. Then what? It's not too late. In Jesus, we are enabled to show honor and respect to even dishonorable people. Because in doing so, we are making a statement about the God whom we serve. We're making a statement about the redemption that we have received, that we are enabled then to pour back out even to others who have wronged us greatly. So wherever you are on the spectrum, the gospel is sufficient to enable us to care for and to honor our fathers and our mothers. And then, of course, that gets extended into honoring those that God puts into our life in other arenas, other authorities over us, that we're able to come and to serve them and to be able to give the proper deference, because in doing so, we're honoring our God. That everything that we do, we're doing as unto the Lord. That is good news for us as we try to navigate through the fact that we all have been sinned against by someone and we have sinned against others. It's no different in our homes. Some of the most beautiful, precious forms of love that many of us have ever received have come in our homes, and some of our worst and most blighted wounds have come from our homes. And God is the God over that. And He is inviting us into a new family to recognize His authority as our true Heavenly Father. And He's inviting us then in to come and to demonstrate the reality of that as we love and care for those around us, certainly in our mothers and fathers. If you will pray with me. Father God, we do give You thanks how You have blessed us so abundantly. And I know many here, Lord, have fantastic parents. Father, we truly thank You for just how they have received so much from You. And Lord, we also know there are some here who that has not been a good thing. Father, there's much forgiveness that needs to be done. And we pray that You would continue to enable them to do just that, to trust You, Father, in Your providence where it has been hard and difficult to see. But Lord, that together as the family of God, that we would be joined together. Lord, that we would be able to sing Your praises, Your goodness, and Your glory. And in doing so, that we would honor You first and foremost as we honor those You put into our lives. And we pray and ask for these things through Jesus, our great Redeemer. Amen.